Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita to chapter 7, text 63. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Parito Mudur Alokya Srimadvara Patishwaram Priyadavendram Atmanam Satya Vijat Tavam Tada. Looking all around again, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Sri Dwarka, the divine king of the Yadavas. Om Janat Jamanam Dasya Janam Jana Shilakaya Saksir Indritam Yena Ismai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vairagya Bhakti Visham Piyatnai Apaya Mamanabit Samantam Kutambhriya Paraduka Dhuki Sanatanastam Sabhamatriyami Pancha Kaupa Thiru Jascha Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vicha Patitanam Pavane Jo Vaishnavishyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I think you should have more steady reception. You know, you travel in India, it varies. And we should have a little bit of it should be a little bit more steady. Now, today, Raghunath's coming with 25 people. Okay. He's coming with 25 people, and they'll be coming for dinner at my place. I may have to cut short a little bit. Actually, it was supposed to be right now, but they're a little bit late. Perhaps next week or something, maybe I'll tell you a little bit about our Puri Yatra, or maybe I'll tell you a little bit now. It was really a wonderful experience. That, of course, we're in Puri, and Puri is Vipralamba Kshetra. It's the place where there's mood of separation in worship of Krishna. I explained that many times. Vrindavan is Madhurya. The real feeling of deep intimacy, which gives a certain Madhurya or sweetness. And in Madhurya, the mood of magnanimity rises a little bit above the mood of, becomes a little bit more prominent. And that's called Odarya. And in Mayapur, you feel really a flood of mercy. You can actually experience and taste the difference. And Puri is another deep, intense form of love, which is separation. So we basically dive into Gaur Lila, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Prabhupada describes as the character of the life force in immortality. That's the literal translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the character of the life force in immortality is seva bhav. It's a mood of service. You see everything in terms of a mood of service. And therefore what becomes prominent in your life is not your own personal desire, but the desires of others, especially the desire of God is reflected in others. So it's so wonderful, that mood of seva bhav, and it creates a very, very wonderful sangha, because there's no selfish motive. And it was very wonderful that even though we had so many senior Vaishnavas there, we had so many senior devotees there, because there was no one that was in any other mood than Seva Bhav, no one was trying to become prominent for selfish reasons. Everyone would come forward to the mood of service. When people try to become prominent for personal reasons, it creates some kind of discomfort or discord. And that's basically what the world is. Everyone is trying to become prominent, and therefore it creates conflicts, because then there is competition over the resources, whether it's externally wealth, or whether it's internally followers, or fame. Even in a spiritual society, those things. So it's very wonderful to live in that mood. And that's the position, the mood of service, where one can experience devotion or love. So it creates a very sweet mood. I'll explain more about that, but it was quite a successful yatra, and many senior Vaishnavas came. So today we'll get into the Brihat Bhagavatam. We haven't discussed it in quite a while, but so looking around again, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Sri Dwarka, the divine king of the Yadavas. So as you probably remember something of the story, this is Narada's search for the topmost devotee, and he finally enters into Dwarka, where there's very, very deep and intimate love. And he's searching for Uddhava, who has a particular devotion. And then when he comes into Dwarka, because Uddhava had one of his qualifications, he was such a confidant of Krishna that he was sent by Krishna with a message to the gopis. So Uddhava, even though he was in Dwarka, he was such an intimate devotee that he was able to enter into Vrindavan and at least perceive the exalted love of the residents of Vrindavan, that their mood of separation hadn't waned after so many years. In fact, it intensified. Their love was so deep. And intensified to such a degree that the residents of Vrindavan on a certain level were still consumed by those feelings of separation. And the feelings of separation could cause a kind of existential depression, because when you love someone, then someone becomes your life, and without that person, then you have no life. So out of intense, deep love, there's a kind of near death, there's a kind of depression, the world becomes vacant, and Uddhava saw that. But anyway, Uddhava, of course, in the story, does not accept that position, that he's glorified. But again, a devotee never wants to move to the center. Rather, the devotee's mood is appreciation and glorification. He always wants to keep in the mood of service. He always wants to keep in the mood of the seen, the enjoyed, the servant, rather than the master. And so therefore, the devotee's mood is to appreciate and glorify others. And he doesn't himself appreciate glorification and service. Because glorification and service, if one does not have the proper consciousness, glorification and service can leave one in the center. And a devotee doesn't want to be in the center. He wants to be in the position where he can be aligned with devotion. So naturally, Buddhism deflects the praise, but because there was discussion of the residence of Vrindavan, Krishna, who loved the devotees so much, was feeling separation and finally went into a catatonic state of depression. And as you remember, the only solution to this problem was Lord Brahma, chief manager of the universe, came with Garuda and took Krishna and Balaram to another Vrindavan, which was built by the great architect for the demigod, Vishvakarma, as a facsimile of Vrindavan. As a facsimile of Vrindavan. And and the plan was that in that state, if Krishna can be deleted, that it was actually in Vrindavan, it would relieve his separation and bring him out of his catatonic, depressed state, and slowly, perhaps. So he's in this place, another Vrindavan, and with an exact facsimile of the real Vrindavan, although the everything is inanimate. So the statues are there of the different residents of Vrindavan and all the various flowers. And then we were discussing Vrindavan enlivens Krishna, because that's what Vrindavan means. Vrindavan is the place where the environment loves Krishna. And how do you love someone? You love someone by offering them the best. That's why, but soon coming up is Valentine's Day. Why did the flower salesman make so much money on that day? Because people out of love want to offer something very beautiful and something fragrant. So they get flowers. Flowers have fragrance, they have beauty. And you offer it to someone. It means I love you. Why? Because I'm giving you something that will please you. So Vrindavan is the place to please Krishna, and therefore it has the most beautiful flowers with the most intense fragrance, with the most beautiful sound, with the most perfect weather, with the most pleasing winds, with the softest sand, with the most luscious fruits, with the most rich and fragrant milk, and everything in Vrindavan is offered to Krishna. We're reading in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavatam, the 15th chapter of the 10th canto. As Krishna enters into Vrindavan, he gets so much pleasure from seeing Vrindavan, the offering of love in terms of beauty and sound and fragrance, that his joy is expressed and he blows his flute, expressing the joy in his heart, and also trying to reciprocate and giving pleasure to Vrindavan by offering his love through the beautiful music that comes from his heart, to express and amplify his love to the residents of Vrindavan. So, and therefore it describes that Vrindavan is like a great soul. And what's the symptom of a great soul? The symptom of a great soul is that he receives other great souls by giving them the best. That's the symptom of a great soul. So how does he offer them the best? Well, a peacock, the best that a peacock has is its beauty. So the peacock offers its fan of color. And the cuckoos, they can sing. So they sing in a way that parallels the Vedic hymns. And what can the does offer, the female deers? Well, they have beautiful eyes, and they glance at Krishna. So, in that facsimile, Priti Mana, Krishna becomes very satisfied. And rather than being inactive, he wants to enjoy. So it's a great stimulus. So what's happening now in this particular part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, being in that environment, and because he's in such a kind of a half consciousness, he's not aware that it's a facsimile, and he's even goes to the shore of the river, thinking that it's the Arabian Sea, thinks it's the Jamuna. And right now, in the part, Krishna is looking around, and then he's a little confused, but then he sees the palace of Dwarka, and he remembers that, yes, indeed, he is the master of Dwarka. He is indeed the master of Dwarka. Now, this whole setting, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but this whole setting and this whole story is leading to a very amazing conclusion. And the conclusion of this story is that Narada is looking for the topmost love. And it can be interesting how it presents it, but the topmost place is Vrindavan. And I just got a letter from a very close devotee that I know, a very advanced soul, and we were having a discussion about Radhakrishna, on whether or not we can reside in Radhakrishna, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta did indicate that there's a danger. And the danger is if you live in the best place, you can think you're the best devotee. And then your spiritual life is ruined. Because as soon as any sense of pride enters into spiritual life, it ruins your experience of mercy, which is the main impetus to develop love in your heart. So as soon as there's pride, Bhakti Siddhanta likes, yes, feel very humble, you know, we'll stay in Govardhan, etc. But at the same time, it was a discussion I was having with the person, and they were quoting many, many references also that, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta himself had a house in Radhakrishna. There's a Gaudiya Math in Radhakrishna. It's, you know, the Yukadeva Shamatha says it's the highest place. It's a very, very nice discussion, you know, how you can enter. And you can enter, you can stay, but it has to be drawn by Krishna and mercy, nothing that you can impose yourself. After years and years and years of intense spiritual practice. So what happened, so the letter very beautifully, they explain this gradation in Upadeshamrita of the places. There's a gradation of place. One place is better than another place. It's just higher than this. So, you know, better than the material world is Vaikuntha. Better than Vaikuntha is Mathura Mandala, the whole Braj Mandala. Better than that is Vrindavan. Better than that is Vrindavan. And better than that is Radhakrishna. So the person is making the point, why Radhakrishna is better. And it was so beautiful. It says, because in Vaikuntha, you worship God in opulence. Right? As soon as you worship God in opulence, God in majesty, then there's a distance between you and God. And there's not only a distance, but there's an obligation of duty because you're dealing with a superior. And as soon as it's an obligation or duty, then there's something external to the flow of love. Even though it's pure love in Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha is way above us. But in a comparative sense, it's weakened by a sense of obligation and duty. And here, if you don't worship, it's not obligatory when you worship the superior. Isn't that something that's wrong? Bow down, mister? Something like that? Who did that song? Boy George? Boy George was in Vrindavan. Boy George visited Vrindavan once. So did George Harrison. So bow down, mister. Right? So there's a sense of that. Now, when you get to Matsura, there's not just Dasyura, servitude. But you can have friendship there, you can have parental love, you can even have conjugal love, like Kubja, and this parental love, like Devaki. But it's in opulence. There's still a sense that Krishna is a king. So there's still an obligation or duty. But when you get to Vrindavan, you have those four relationships, but it's complete sweetness. There's no sense of Krishna's God sheds his majesty. So it's all kevala. It's only devotion. There's no fear. Now the person made such a brilliant point. When Krishna goes out every day in Vrindavan, when he goes to Govardhan, there's only two relationships. There's only cowherd boys and the gopis. And what does that mean? Well, in Vrindavan, the parents are around. The servants are around. So that checks the flow of love. If the parents are around, or there's the potential for the parents are around, then the intimacy of friendship has to be checked. Except in Rupa. I'm joking. Go get our mouths there. It's checked. And what to speak of conjugal love is checked. Although in Vrindavan it's so intimate, and there's so many intimate places, but Govardhan only has these two. So it's, the play is more free, the romance is more free. Pamada Mandana Leela Kandare Kandare Te Rachiyati Nava Yono Vanvanatmila Mandam In each and every cave, there's Pramada Mandana Leela. And there are caves, and no one goes there, and the parents are not going to walk by. But then the person made, but in Radha Krishna, there's sweetness, but only one relationship. Madhurya Rasa, conjugal love. Only one relationship. So even in Govardhan, the cowherd boys could come by. But in Radha Kund, there's sweetness and there's one relationship. Person is making presentation. Why Radha Kund is important in an internal sense. And can you believe it that we went to Radha Kund? Isn't it? They say even Narada Muni can't go to Radha Kund. And then the question, did you go to Radha Kund? We have to do it in the right mood. So what this is going to lead to is it's going to point to the resonance of Vrindavan. And I don't know if we'll get up to it today, but it leads into it in such a beautiful way. So looking around, Krishna remembers, okay, I'm the master. He remembered that he had been sleeping inside the palace. He said, no, yeah, I was sleeping in that palace. Because they dressed him like a cowherd boy thing with a flute, and you know, he was thinking he was a cowherd boy. Now he kind of like woke up. He really is thinking, I'm in Vrindavan, and it brought him into consciousness here. Now he says, oh, I'm Dwarka. Okay, I remember, oh, yeah, I was sleeping in the palace. And then he looked and he saw his flute in his hand, and himself and his older brother were dressed like forest dwellers. He said, what's going on? Wait a second. I'm the king of Dwarka, but what's this cowherd boy thing? I'm the king of Dwarka. I don't wear this anymore. Right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, the President of the United States, you know, and he's giving the State of the Union address, and he walks out and he sees he's wearing Bermuda shorts. He's like wearing shorts, you know, and a t-shirt. Wait, what's going on? I mean, You know, and he's got a golf club in his hand or something. Or what's going on? Or a baseball cap. He's giving a State of the Union. He's going to speak to the whole Congress. Well, wait, what is that for? See, Krishna perceived he had gone out to the city to tend cows. Okay, I went out of the city to tend cows. And this filled him with surprise and doubt. He laughed as he pondered it. He said, wait a second. Not aware of himself as the prince of Dwarka, Krishna had to reckon with the obvious fact that he and Balaram were dressed like cowherd boys and had been tending cows along the ocean. This is why we were doing this. Now, two contradicting series, oh, I'm the king of Dwarka, but why am I by the ocean like tending cows and dressed like a cowherd boy? And he wondered why they were acting like this and whether these things were actually happening or some type of illusion. He laughed at his own inability to figure this out and at his long lapse from normal consciousness. Now that I put my heart into this, can someone please say hello? And is anybody there?
Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you, thank you. You relieve my great anxiety. At least today I'm talking to Neela, Govardhan Lal, and Rutti, and not laying on my bed talking to the wall thinking I'm giving such a great class and my hands are moving, and which makes sense if I'm giving a class, but if I'm not speaking to anybody, it's like I'm a madman. Krishna perceived he'd gone out of the city to tend the cows. Okay. His brother Balaram understood. Now, Balaram, he understood what Krishna was thinking, and Balaram explained what happened. What happened, this was Brahma's arrangement, and he told the Krishna why he had done it. He said, no, you were in separation from the gopis. You started to go out of consciousness and deep love for them. We didn't know what to do. He called Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the universal creator. He has a brilliant mind, management, practical brain, thought, okay, the only thing we can do, let's take him to the Nava Vrindavan and revive him. So he tells Krishna that this is what happened. Krishna then looked at his brother's face and smiled as if embarrassed. Well, he smiled as if embarrassed. It says if embarrassed because in Krishna's own words to Uddhava, it says, the gupta via a karma soup, real modesty of that means being disgusted with improper acts. So it's as if embarrassed, because he didn't really do anything wrong. So you don't have to be embarrassed if you just make a mistake. You should be really embarrassed or feel shame if you, you know, really did something wrong. So it's as if. If one is indulged in illicit acts, one should feel shame and condemn one's own behavior. But Krishna felt no shame. He simply looked at Balaram and smiled. Wow, what a fool I was. I was just thrilled. And then Balaram, Krishna's body was covered with dust. Balaram wiped him clean and bathed him. Why was his body covered with dust? Well, first of all, in the palace, he was rolling around on the floor in separation from the gopis. Then they took him out. And he was going to another Vrindavan. I assume another Vrindavan. They put soft sand among all the. Isn't it amazing that you can see that Prabhupada read so many books, even though he gave us one to concentrate on? The Spirit of Prabhupada did the idea of new Vrindavan. He got it from reading the Bhagavatam. At that moment, Garuda arrived because he understood the Lord's moods perfectly well. Krishna mounted him and returned unseen to his palace. So what is disciple? What is servant? When you serve someone, you have to serve their desire. So the real servant, the real disciple, takes the mood of the guru. That's what Krishna means. He takes the mood. And he knows. He knows. If you see close servants of different teachers, they know the mood. My essay. Some people have that, I don't know, nature or karma, whatever it is, but they have servants. You know, Sachidananda Swami, like what's his name, Gauri. He knows everything about sex non-monogamous lovers. He knows how to move, how to facilitate service. Sridhan Parthasarathy Goswami's servant. He knows everything. You know, that's what a good servant is. You're so interested in serving that you enter into the heart. You see, you know. And you're just concerned with satisfying that mood. You know the person. Yeah, I stay here and as Indrajini Swami's servant stays downstairs, Mahavan. Quite an amazing servant. And he's also one of those Russian technicians. You know, I'm sure he could dismantle any nuclear reactor by computers or something. I mean, anytime I need a part for my computer, he has it downstairs in his room. And he has some kind of spirit. He showed me videos of him bathing in the winter outside in Moscow by breaking the ice. First rolling in snow, and then breaking the ice. At that moment, Garuda arrived because the all-knowing Uddhava informed Devaki with Mimi and others what was happening. He brought all the queens back to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. So Uddhava is descendant. Uddhava has so much takes Krishna's mood that Uddhava has the same color as Krishna. Because mood is often reflected in color. I say red with rage, green with envy, yellow with fright, pale with fright, yellow with sourness, blue with depression. He accepts the mood. So Uddhava is so close. So he also knows. They also know. And the mood and desire of Krishna is in the interest of everyone. This is the difference from our desires if it's not linked up with God. God's desire is universal interest. So serving God is serving everyone. So they understand the universal interest. And then he brought all the queens back to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. Mother Devaki greeted her son with blessings, well aware of what time that she quickly went to prepare his meal. So now, Devaki, she also understands, everyone understands the mood. They're sensitive people. When you're sensitive, when you're considerate, you think of the desires of others. It's very frustrating to be with people whose only concern is their own desires. Because if your only concern is your own desire, you'll not only neglect the desires of others, but you'll do things that are against the desires of others. You won't be considerate. You're completely oblivious to others. People may be in a class, and you'll walk in and, you know, start talking loudly. You're saying oblivious to this. But everyone's here so sensitive. Because they're so trained in the mood of service, and therefore they're always thinking carefully of others. And again, that's a people and that's a society that's pleasant. When people have that consciousness, it's so pleasant. When people are always thinking of others before themselves, it's pleasant. So Devaki, she greets her son. Now Krishna's come back as the king. And then she excuses herself because she knows what's going to happen now is Krishna is going to have to explain to the queens of Dwarka his love for the gopis. Because the queens of Dwarka were in New Vrindavan hiding behind the trees. If they came out and Krishna saw the queens, he wouldn't be in the delusion that it was Vrindavan, and he wouldn't come out of his catatonic state. So they hid behind the trees. And then they saw their husband when he was completely uncovered. from anything that would hide his most intimate side, which comes out with the love of the gopis. The queens still have a sense this is the king. So there's some type of reverence hiding, distancing themselves from Krishna. And Krishna's covered a little bit that I am the king. There's a little opulence there. So Krishna's full beauty never manifests to the queen. But it did when he saw the gopis, and they saw that, because when Krishna saw the statue of Radharani, he thought it was Radharani. And when Radharani wouldn't respond to him, he thought that Radharani was angry. And his full love came, and they saw that. So Krishna knows now, I'm going to have to explain to the queens of Dwarka, and he's married to so many queens, there's 8 principal queens, he's going to have to explain to them why he's loved the residents of the godhead so much. And this is going to be the essence of Priya Bhagavatam, because Krishna is going to explain why they're the topmost devotees. But Devaki understands, I'm the mother. These intimate talks are not going to manifest with me around, so she goes in to cook. Everyone is trying to facilitate the pleasure of Krishna. The beloved queens of the Lord stayed hidden behind objects such as columns, not approaching him. But Satyabhama had not come there with the others, so Krishna asked her about her from Uddhava. The other queens were a little bit shy. They're in one mood. But Satyabhama is the contrary love. And she doesn't come, and Krishna is suspecting that she's angry. And Krishna is going to be angry that she's angry. Because why is she not appreciating the resonance of Vrindavan? So what happens now is, Uddhava is going to explain why Satyabhama is not there. Because this Padmavati, who is the wife of Kamsa, and is envious of everyone. And she when she saw that love of the residents of Vrindavan, because she was there watching it also, she said to the queens, she said, O Devaki, devoid of pious credits, O unfortunate with Muni, wretched Satyabhama, Jam, and you other miserable women, look here, from now on you should give up your pride and undergo the greatest penance to become servants of these Abhira Nomad. He said, basically, she looked at all the queens and said, give up your pride and become servant of the gopis. They called them Abhiras. Abhiras is a low class nomad ladies that hang out in the jungle. So she's so gross, she called the gopis that because they just herd the cows. It said, you should give up your pride just to become like them. And Satyabhama she just, in modern terms, she just lost it. She became so upset. And then there's the part where now Krishna's going to finally stand up to Satyabhama and say, Satyabhama, you want to know why I love the gopis the best? Well, I'm going to tell you why. And then he tells her, and so stay tuned, Sangha members, because we're finally going to get to the conclusion, and we're going to hear Krishna talk about the exalted love of the residents of Vrindavan. We finally got to that point. Okay, it's been a wild day, because originally the group was going to come at 6:30, So you have Gopal Raj, the supreme cook. It's just like a drama with those curtains, you know, like maybe a Vidushika. You know what a Vidushika? What? Oh, nice. Okay, so because in my mind I was thinking, where is that leader with the dollars? Thank you. This is going to be a treat for those people. We have people from Kazakhstan. And you know what you're going to do when the people from New York come? They're going to bring in their boats. Lula, you like my jokes, right?
I love them.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, though, but because so many people are coming to Vrindavan, I can't accommodate them all. So I have one assistant named Lula. She just took around Govardhan and Rushi and Stacia and... What? Yeah, it's okay. And she took them around. So she's from Kazakhstan. So she has a herd of goats. No, I'm just joking. You know. She likes the goats. She said that she saw this film and she thought rather than put down the people of Kazakhstan, it shows how ridiculous the people in America are. And she said all the people in Kazakhstan are laughing what actually America is. So, I don't know what film she's talking about, but I'm sure half of the audience knows. Okay. It's a wild mood today here in Vrindavan. It's very spontaneous, and we're having Gopal Raj. He's cooking, and he figured out what's the menu. Because he's got to bring it from his house to my house. He said, what's the menu? Make it a little dry. Not too many wet things. So what he has is he has... this pushpana rice with vegetables, calzones, stuffed fruit turnovers, and hot tomato soup. Yes, that's what they'll come. Okay, anybody like to say hello? I have to go pretty soon. Can someone say hello? Hi, Krishna. Next week, it shouldn't be like this. We'll have time for class and questions.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody like to say
hello? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is Gail.
Gail?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Gail. Great. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Yeah, Stacia just left today with Chris. They had a really nice time yesterday. Did you go to Barsani yesterday? Is that yesterday? Yeah, they went to Barsani yesterday. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj,
I love it when three people say hello at once and I got it. Say it again, all three, I'll see who it is. Who is it? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hey, Nanda Dulal. Hare Krishna. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj.
Krishna Maharaj.
Della and Carl. Go around shaking his head. Hare Bo. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Hey, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Priya from Seattle. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm just going to have to go now just to get this thing in motion. Hi, Bob. Why don't you cope with these, because this is going to be dangerous.